Welcome to The Hot Slice. I'm creative director Josh Cowan. Along with me, executive editor Denise Greer and editor-in-chief of Pizza Today, Jeremy White. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
So for the next several episodes, we, of course, are from the show floor at Pizza Expo doing interviews with operators. So this is your intro into our continuation of interviews with pizzeria operators at Pizza Expo.
Enjoy, everyone.
Hi, I'm Genevieve Ruby, a fifth-generation dairy farmer here in Humboldt County, California. Did you know that 99% of California's dairy farms are family-owned? And we're proud to sustainably produce the milk that goes into quality cheeses you use to create your delicious pizzas. Thanks for helping make California not only America's number one dairy state, but the leading producer of mozzarella too. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Performance Food Service is proud to deliver high-quality products, innovative technology, and custom operational solutions to restaurants of all sizes across the country. The flagship division of Performance Food Group, with deep roots in the restaurant industry, Performance Food Service has been the exclusive distributor of the Roma family of brands for more than 65 years. This signature relationship has allowed Performance Food Service to become a leader in the pizza and Italian segment of food service nationwide.
I'm Jonathan Schroeder with Il Primo Pizza and Wings, and we will soon have 7 locations located in Southwest Florida.
Okay, well, Jonathan, I have the privilege. I've actually been to one of your locations.
That's correct.
And since you're in South Florida, let's just get this out of the way really quickly. You have to deal with hurricanes.
Yep.
And tell us what's happened with the latest hurricane and how it's affected your businesses.
Sure. With the last one, it obviously affected our business. Some of my businesses were down for 2 weeks before we got power back. Some, however, you know, some live are located right across the street from a hospital. Those locations obviously got their power back within 24 hours.
Yeah.
One of my locations got their power back in Northport. Seemed as if like the businesses really didn't want to open up. However, we did. So when we do open up, I mean, you're looking at sales that will quadruple what you do weekly. However, it's just, you know, fighting back, cleaning up stores, getting them ready, and just basically fighting back the hurricane, you know. Just bouncing back, opening up, and then servicing the community as fast as possible.
You know, we kind of talked about this before we got on the podcast, but, you know, when I went to your store, one of your stores, I mean, that was an 8,000 square foot restaurant. And that footprint has changed after COVID. Tell us about how you're growing the business now. Like what you're looking at as the future of your pizza concept.
So the future for our concept is getting away from our standard 4,500 square feet restaurants. Obviously, with the one location, it was 8,000 square feet, which is not the way of the future, in our opinion. Our way of attack for the future is a smaller footprint, looking for restaurants that are about 3,000 square feet, maybe 3,200 at the most. In South Florida, as you can imagine, we're very seasonal.
Yeah.
So after Easter, about April, May is normally when season is over and we go into summer numbers.
Yeah.
So basically our plan of attack for the future is to kind of look out for those restaurants that unfortunately will not survive.
Yeah.
And our plan for the future is to snag up those locations just because, I mean, we need a Pizza Hood and a Wing Hood. And
yeah,
if we can find a location that, like I said, unfortunately went out of business, you're looking at a cost savings of about $60,000 right off the bat.
Yeah, for build out, absolutely.
Absolutely. So that's our plan of attack. Smaller locations, about a 3,000 square foot, and of course, you know, snatching up any businesses that, again, unfortunately haven't made it.
Yeah. Now, I know tourism is heavy in South Florida,
yep,
but as I remember when I went to your Fort Myers spot, which actually it was the 8,000 square foot that did not make it.
Yep.
I remember you had a very community focus where you were getting a lot of residents as your clientele. How has that progressed now? Like, where is it at with your business, the locals?
It's the one thing that hasn't changed throughout the years. I've been with O Primo for about 18 years now.
Yeah.
And from the first year that I started up until today, it's one thing that we do. So we're constantly giving back to the community. Every year for Northport Police Department, we buy about 80 cases of bottles of water for them and give it to them. Teacher appreciation. Again, when you have a hurricane, I believe we donated 100 large pizzas to the linemen that were working in Naples.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I donated 50 pizzas to a church that was being used as a point where the community can go and get tarps, food, water. So, you know, we're feeding them. So that will, one thing I can promise you, that is one thing that we have always done, and moving in the future, it'll be something that we always do.
I got you. I'll ask two more questions because you're so good.
Sure.
One is, you know, I remember when I went to your restaurant, just how good you were at efficiency in your kitchen. Like the organization in the kitchen, I'm not kidding you, right down to the materials on the wall.
Yep.
For the kit to aid the kitchen workers to make the pizzas, like, y'all have it down.
Yeah.
So tell us about like how that has helped your business to be so on with efficiency and high volume.
Sure. So I remember when you came, the big thing that I think I took away from that was just how impressed you were with the posters that I had on the wall. So
your kitchen was immaculate.
Absolutely.
And your kitchen was well organized. Your make lines were perfect. But also, we don't get into kitchens that big a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it was just, you know, my small town Pennsylvania upbringing, or perhaps some, you know, my time in the service.
Yeah.
So organization and structure is very important to me. If I see something that isn't organized or doesn't have a nice flow of things, it just drives me crazy. I sit there and I go, how can I make this better?
Yeah.
So I try and make it, you know, foolproof to where we have things on the thing. If you have a question, you can find the answer. So as we continue to expand, which is, you know, what I want to do, that's what's driving me day to day, is to expand. I don't want to retire until there's at least 20 O Primos.
Yeah.
And I know in order for that to happen, it's not going to happen unless there's organization, structure, just a way of doing things.
Yeah.
So it's something that we continue to do every day. And I look at things every day in order to improve.
That's amazing. Okay. Last question. What exactly are you wanting to get out of this year's Pizza Expo?
Same thing I always get from every Pizza Expo that I go to. I still remember my very first one was in 2006.
Yeah.
And I went to a seminar, and it was a packed room, and it was Dan Collier speaking. And to this day, Dan Collier is my pizza idol. So
yeah.
I look
he's
every year.
Folks idol.
Oh, yeah. He is my idol. I don't have
Pizza Man Dan.
I only have one pizza idol, and that's Dan Collier. I still have to track him down and get a selfie with him sometime today. But I just take away what I learned for the first one, just being in awe about how the information was there. Dan was up there speaking from experience, and Lord knows he has more experience than probably 90% of the people in this room right now.
Yeah.
And it's just the fact that he's giving away this information, and it's free, and you're able to, you know, sit there and pick his brain and kind of take that information that you get and move it to your concept in order to help your pizza restaurant. Not only that, just walking the floor. I mean, I have my my hit list that I like to call right now, and I'm going to go there and see what I can do in order to make the stores better, products that are out there to make the stores better. And overall, I mean, every single year, no matter what you pay for your hotel, your food, your flight, it pays itself off within the first day.
Absolutely.
Just based on the information that you're given. So you can either A, let it go in one ear and out the other and not take advantage of it, or you can understand the importance of it.
Absolutely.
And run with it. And that's what I try to do every year.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
You're welcome. It's nice seeing you again.
And keep us posted on what's happening with the business and how you're continuing to grow, because we like to hear it.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. I'm Chris Brown.
Zach Toth.
And we're the owners of Benny's Pizza. We started in Blacksburg, Virginia, 12 years ago. And we're now up to 32 locations in Philadelphia. A few weeks will be our newest store.
Nice.
That is a lot of locations.
That is a lot. Yeah, it is. It's been a long 12 years, but you know, we've stayed pretty much local to Virginia, North Carolina. We've had some really good partners and family members partner with us to go outside into Charleston, South Carolina, Pittsburgh, some other fun towns. But
now you started doing college markets, correct? You started really focusing on the college market. How, as you've grown, how has the business grown?
I would say that we found that it wasn't just the college markets that worked. It was really any downtown. If they had a good downtown with a good bar scene, it worked for us. And we learned that after going into Roanoke and Norfolk and some of these towns that didn't have college nearby.
Okay. So with a downtown focus, what really resonates with customers as far as what do you have that people are just loving?
Right.
I think we pride ourselves on the size of the slice, but we're trying to put it like a very friendly environment that's receptive to everybody.
Uh-huh.
So we can build that area that is just as good with a college late night drunk crowd as it is with like young families that are coming in for cost effective meal. That's really delicious.
That's awesome. So with 12 years, 30 some locations, how in the world do you get there? Like for this guy that just opened one spot and they look at you and they're like, how in the world do I do that?
Well, I think the first question is, do you want to do it?
That's exactly right.
Everything changes after you start going more than one out of a town that you're already in.
Yeah.
But it just takes it, one step at a time and having really good partners. Our food partners, our partners that manage our restaurants for us. Mm-hmm. We just try to make it all easy for all of our partnerships along the way with our landlords, anyone. Uh-huh. And that's the best way.
Yeah, we learned that very easy, like stair step approach was it. Like we even have people who come in the franchise now and they're like, we're going to open 50 locations. We're like, we're not even at 50 locations. We set a goal of 3 a year and we were able to almost achieve that. We'd be at 36. We have had a couple shut down during COVID, but we kind of achieved the goal that we were trying to do.
Yeah. So what is your growth model? How are you, growing through bringing in, like letting SAC take over those locations or having corporate locations, or are you doing it through franchises? Like, how are you growing?
We kind of done it, which may be the hardest path is doing a little bit of all of that.
Okay.
Some employees have moved on to new towns to open. We have my brother and my cousin came through and they wanted to open, some college buddies wanted to open stores. And then we started franchising a few years ago.
Okay.
And that seems to work too. I mean, it's a lot of work to build the franchising package. And
I heard that.
Yeah, package and then the lawyer side of it and then marketing it all.
Yeah.
And so, we've learned different ways of doing it along the way. And I mean, I think for us, it's still our favorite to build our own. So that's a fun to go into town, meet everyone as you open.
Yeah.
Seems to be the best way.
Now, let's talk about this new Philly location, because that's the one opening soon, correct? Or it just opened?
Yes, we've got a couple weeks.
Okay, so how is it going into a new market, especially a market that's further away from where you all are?
Yeah, we've done far away, like South Carolina is a little bit farther away, but Philadelphia brought in a whole different construction challenge.
Okay.
We've never ventured north where there are potential union workers and stuff, where like pricing's a lot different than we were expecting. So where typical cost to build a job for us in Virginia, it's probably an extra 25% to 50% more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But we learn from that now. So we'll pick up on it.
Now, are you, when you add these new spots, are you more of a buy or a lease, or how are you taking those stores on?
We try to lease first whenever possible. Location, like everything, is the biggest key that we can do.
Yeah.
So we can try to stay to the best location. If that does mean buying ultimately, then that's when we start to factor in the cost difference and the long-term investment and all that.
Yeah.
So Philadelphia is exactly that example. By the time we looked at a bunch of locations, we couldn't find one to lease that wasn't going to require a ton of money to go into it, and the landlords did not want to put that money in. So in this case, we settled on buying it because we looked it was going to cost about the same.
So you look at it individually and kind of evaluate how it's going to work. So what's the grand goal? Do you have a goal in mind, a number or a vision of where you want to take Benny's?
We sort of had a goal, a 5-year plan of getting to 60 stores.
Okay.
And we're on that path for the next 4 years. Hopefully we get there. We've had some new partnership opportunities come through.
Yeah.
We've done... it's kind of like trying to stay steady, trying to keep our same growth pattern. And sticking to it, and you know, hopefully the franchising comes a little stronger as we go.
Absolutely. Now, you know, you guys have been to the show several times. You're veterans now. So what did this year bring? What were you hoping to get out of this year's show, and have you succeeded?
Yeah, I think every year we have a goal of maybe four or five things. If you try to do too much, then you're going to get lost, and you're going to think about it. So you get four or five things done, and it's great. And you get to meet a lot of the partners that you work with over the years. So it's kind of a fun social environment too.
That's awesome. So let's talk the next couple of years. What are you looking to do within that time frame?
So our big push right now is back to this five store. We're trying to go to five stores a year now for the next 5 years. That'll give us 25, and that'll put us right online with 60. So we're kind of tightening up some of our operations a little bit. That's part of the food show here, is like, how can we push and control, get our boxes right, all that type of stuff, so that we can be ready for that next big push.
I love that. So what advice do you have for that single operator that wants to take it to the next level? Like, what's something that you learned that you're like, I wish I would have known that when I started into this adding units?
Yeah. I mean, I think number one is the people you're surrounding yourself with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the staff is more important than anything. And then a good, you know, support structure around you with friends and family. Like, our wives are super supportive. But you still have to bounce around and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to keep that same level of detail to the slices if you're not the one making every single pie. And so that's the scariest next step. So those processes need to be locked down.
Absolutely. Do you have anything else to add?
I would say, the partners that you the people you surround yourself with, but also all the different paths you could take. There's so many opportunities to go in different directions. You just got to decide what's best for you. You know, do you like to travel? If you do, then sure, go to new towns. If you don't like to travel, then stick to your neighborhood, and maybe you do a different concept, just a coffee shop or something, a bar, and you build around the place you live. It's kind of whatever your preferences are.
That's amazing. Well, we can't wait to keep watching what you guys are doing. We love it. And we're just going to watch you grow.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for coming over.